ready his equipment here. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. We're going to read the entire chapter of Romans chapter 6. Here we read, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead indeed to sin, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many as of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we should also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you shall obey in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We know, most of us know, that the Bible is a law book. The Bible is a law book. It is the Word of God. It also is a law. And God usually calls His Word commandments. He commands us in the Bible. It's called judgments. God's Word judges us. You know, every time we sin, God's Word is judging us. And we're going to be found guilty of it. You know, we're sinners, and tell us many things about His Word. And as we read this law book, it is God who is speaking to each and every one of us. And God's law demands payment for sin. Remember, he says here, look at this verse today in verse 23. What does verse 23 mean? It's a very familiar verse to all of us. For God says here in verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death." The payment for sin, as we are now learning in the Bible, not only involves physical death, but you're destroyed forever. You're annihilated. And that's a heavy price. You know, God tells us in, for instance, if you look at Proverbs, you could keep your hand there in Romans 6, but when you look at Proverbs chapter 14, God tells us there how unsaved man look at sin. Sin is not a thing that we should take lightly. Look at the payment for sin. You see, sin is not an incidental thing. He says there in Proverbs 14, I believe, that verse where God talks about fool mock at sin, the unsaved, they start in verse 8. Proverbs 14, verse 8 and 9. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock at sin. The unsaved, they mock sin. They think sin is funny. Sin is never funny. Look at the price for sin. God is going to destroy us. You see, sin caused all sorts of problems in our lives. Sin destroys families. It destroys nations. It destroys everything it comes in contact with. Sin, if you're not taking sin seriously, it could be a little lie, a little white lie. It could be you kill someone. It could be evil thinking, lustful thinking. You name it. Sin is sin, and we shouldn't take it lightly. Sin is terrible. Look at our own lives, what sin have done to many of our lives. It destroyed marriages. It caused all sorts of problems in our lives. Sin is never good. But we also know, on the other hand, that we wouldn't commit sin if it didn't bring any pleasure to us. Sin brings certain pleasures to the flesh. You see, we love our sin and we don't want to give it up. But look what the end result of it is. And God is telling us the payment. When you work, you know, you get a wages, you get a paycheck. God says the payment for our sin is death. And we begin to understand now is not only physical death, but also begin May 21st, 2011, Judgment Day, when all the true believers are caught up to be with Christ, and all those who are remaining on this world, all those who are left behind, they're going to be the unsaved. Everyone who is left behind on that day of judgment is not saved. They're going to have to... God now is going to begin to pour out his wrath upon those who are left behind because they were never saved. Their sin were never paid for. He's going to destroy them forevermore. Those 153 days, and at the end of October 21st, then they will be annihilated and forever. But if you will go over to Genesis, you go back over to where it all began in Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, you remember, the Bible is a law book. It is the law of God to all mankind. All mankind, the law. It says in chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, and Jehovah God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And Jehovah God commanded the man, remember, God's word is his commandment, his judgments, it's his law, you see. Commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. It is God's command. Now we're beginning to understand what this dying is. Yeah, man died physically, and we know when the unsaved die in body and soul, he's dead. And he's put in the grave. He is dead. Dead, dead, dead. You see, on that day of judgment, he's going to be cast out, and then he'll be destroyed forever. But remember, the wages of sin is death. It is God's law here. It ties right into Romans 6. And you want to go over to chapter 3 of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. And it says, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. See, the lie of Satan. God says, yes, you will die. You see. And it says, for God knoweth that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, And a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of Jehovah God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Jehovah God amongst the trees of the garden. And Jehovah God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice. No, they didn't see God. They heard his voice. You see, they heard his voice in the garden. And I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And God goes on. And God, you go read through the whole chapter, you see where God put a curse upon man. You see, this is man disobedience for breaking the law of God. You see, and there in Romans 6, God clearly tells us, it's a pickup from Genesis, he tells us, For the wages of sin is death. The payment for our sin, we now begin to understand in our day that it is not only physical death, we're going to be destroyed on the day of judgment. We're going to be destroyed forever and ever. We will no longer exist anymore. You see, so sin is not an incidental thing. Sin is deadly serious. You know, you live in a world that you see increasingly becoming more wicked. God is taking his hand of restraint off of man. And recently, I was listening to the news recently, and in the country of Argentina, now homosexuality now is the law of the land. Entire country, they're free to marry whomever you want. How sad that is. And this is a sin that God tells us, one of the sin, one among many, God has highlighted that during this time, that sin of homosexuality is out there. A few years ago, it was in the closet, but now something has happened. You see, God is preparing man for judgment day. And this is going to happen now in a few more months. That day of judgment will be here. And the question to all of us is, it's going to affect all of us. Judgment day is going to affect me, you, and everyone. Whether you're alive or dead, it's going to affect every one of us. You're either going to be caught up to be with Christ, or you're going to be remaining here to face the wrath of God. And we can't even begin to understand the wrath of God. We can't understand it. We know it's terrible. We can't draw a picture of it. No one can describe it to you. No, we don't. All I know is I don't want to be here, and you should also don't want to be left behind here in the day of judgment. It's going to be the most horrible thing this world has ever seen. Remember, the door of salvation will be shut. There will be no more mercy, no more forgiveness of sins for anyone. You know, the mockers of sin, the day for salvation for them now is ended. It's closed. It's over. God's salvation program now would have come to an end. It will have come to an end. God won't be saving anyone during that time of the day of judgment, when judgment day comes. So you see, it's very, 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 very important to cry out to God while today is a day of salvation, is it not? Can't emphasize it enough. The day comes when God will no longer be forgiving anyone their sin. The door of salvation, as we know, is wide open. Can a two-year-old child pray to God for mercy? Yes. It has nothing to do with age. It has nothing to do with intellect. No. What about those who are born with some kind of mental disability? There is no hope for them. Anyone. And God tells us in Psalm 103 that He is gracious. He's merciful. He's full of compassion. All these things are wide open today for anyone. Let's cry to Him for mercy. You see, but the problem is that We love our sin. We love our sin and we don't want to give it up. God tells us plainly the wages of sin is death. Is death. You know, I'm not teaching free will, but which one you prefer? You see, I'm not trying to teach free will or anything, but that's the way it is. You know, where God is going to destroy the unsaved on that day of judgment because of their rebellion and because of their sin. Your sin. You see. But let's look at Revelation. Turn over to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13, I believe. Verse 8, if I'm not mistaken. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. It says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life from the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have ear to hear, let him hear." You see, those who God has planned to save, to pay for their sin was paid for by Christ from the foundation of the world. You see, Christ was their substitute. Christ did it, pay for the sins. Remember, it has to be payment for sin. God can't just simply just look the other way and save this person. Payment has to be made. So the unsaved will do it on their own during the 153 days. But here, Christ tells us that the sin of his people, it was paid for from the foundation of the world. As we're learning now in our day. You see the same great truth there in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. Let's start in verse 1. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." What works is that was finished? It's the work of Christ saving his people by going to the cross from the foundation of the world. We're learning now what Christ did on the cross was simply showing us what he already had done. You see, but the true believers, those who were elected from the foundation of the world, their sin was paid for by Christ from the foundation of the world. And this is a great, great blessing for us. You know, there are those who recoil at election. Election is a beautiful thing in the Bible because if God didn't elect the people for himself, no one would become saved. You see, and you see this, you look at Hebrews 9:23. Hebrews 9, verse 23. You see the same great truth there, too. Hebrews 9, 23 to 26. "It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but in heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as a high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." All those lambs and all these things was just is showing what God has already did. The burnt offerings and the sacrifices and Christ going to the cross, it was just a demonstration of what Christ has already done. And that's how wonderful God has now has opened our eyes to this great truth in the Bible, what He had already done for His people. And you see the same thing here in Peter. Don't turn over to Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1. You see the same thing. 1 Peter chapter 1, here verse 19. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him from the dead, and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. See, all the work Christ has already done, all the work He already had paid for the sins of His people from before He created, from the foundation of the world. See, sin has to be paid for. There is no other way of entering to heaven without having your sins paid for. You had to been elected of God, and He already had paid for your sins from the foundation of the world. And now when we have become saved, sin now has become an offense to the child of God. If we name the name of Christ and we say that we're a child of God, how can we continue in sin? How can anyone say they're saved, truly saved, and you're still living a life, a sinful life, still continue on with their sin, their conscience never bother them, and just live their lives like that? You know, one of the things that happens to the true believer when we become saved, we become very sensitive to sin. Very sensitive to sin. And when we do fall into a sin, oh, we're going to react like King David. That is going to be our reaction to sin when a true believer falls into sin. We are going to react like King David did, you see. And we don't take sin lightly. Yes, sin becomes less and less in the true believer's life, but we have this body that is not as saved as yet. We're looking forward. All true believers should be looking forward to the day of judgment. When finally now we're going to be 100% saved. God is going to give us a new body, brand new body, like unto His glorious body, whatever that is, and we won't be bothered by sin alone. Now we're going to be with Christ in a new heaven, new earth, in our new bodies. We're going to be 100% saved, and we don't have to deal with sin anymore. Remember the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." He's gaining something. And he says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He saves us, and we have to drag our bodies around with us. We drag our bodies around with us, and the potential to fall into sin is there. You see, we can fall into sin, but we won't remain there. We won't remain in our sin like the unsaved. You know, he comes, unsaved man, you know, he's numb to sin, so to speak. You know, he could just lie, cheat, steal. Yeah, his conscience may bother him for a while, but he continues on. You know, two people could live together in sin, and after a while they become, you know, it doesn't bother them any longer. They could live in a sinful situation. They want all the privileges of being a man and a wife, but they won't get married, and they could live in that situation. I've known people right now that's been common law wife for over 10, 15 years. What has happened to that person? You know, his conscience now is seared, you know. You know, and God, we live in a day now where God is giving people up to sin, you know. He's giving you up to your own lust. You know, it came a point with Israel that he gave them up. You know, they didn't want Jehovah to be their king. They're always murmuring and complaining about something. And while, remember that incident in the Bible, they wanted meat to eat, and God gave them the lust of their heart, and He turned around and destroyed them. You see, and so it will be in our day. God now is giving man up to his own lust of his own heart, you know, and we're living in an age where we have the internet. Oh, how convenient. The true believers are going to use these mediums to get the gospel out. But here's unsaved man. You know, all the sin and filthiness that can be found on the internet. He goes in his room. He closed the door. And you know, he goes. And all this thing, man saved man, he used to multiply sin and multiply sin, and he shakes his fist at God and he continue on his own way. But the true believers, and no, that's not our heart's desire. Our heart's desire is we want to be with Christ. There are those who are not looking forward for that day when they no longer have to struggle with sin, and God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth in a few months. And many are hoping that May 21st is wrong. You know, many are hoping that May 21st, 2011 is wrong. They want to continue in this life and continue in his sin and his rebellion against God, on and on and on and on. But for the true believers, that's not our desire. You see, that's not our desire. Our desire is, oh Lord, I want to be with you forever. You see, that's, we will no longer have to be under this, in the sinful life. And you see man's rebellion all over the place, and how they mock God and all these things. You see, but as of now, we share the gospel. We share the gospel with our fellow man as God has commanded us to do so. And God will save his elect. God will quicken that person. He'll turn that person around if it be his will. But we know that God is saving a great multitude of people yet in our day. But I want to go on a little bit further, and we want to look at God's word is true. God's word is absolutely true. Whatever God has said in the Bible, he has the ability and the power to bring it to pass. There's no question. He created the universe. Well, you think he can destroy it? Yes, he can. God is almighty, you see, and he ought to be feared. But for the unsaved, as he continue in his sin, God is not going to change his mind, so to speak, for me to accommodate my sin. The wages of sin is death, and God means absolutely what he says. The payment for sin is death. And if you look at, I think it's in Daniel. Let's turn over to Daniel chapter 6, I believe. Here God is giving us a picture of his law. You remember when Daniel chapter 6, where Darius, his people, tricked him to have a decree. They tricked him to sign a decree into law because they wanted was to trap Daniel as he served Jehovah God of the Bible. And they had him sign a decree that anyone worship any god other than the old king should be destroyed, to be thrown in the lion's den. And here in verse 6, God has given us a picture of his law. He says, verse 8, Daniel chapter 6, verse 8, "And now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not." See, there in the laws of the Medes and the Persians of that day, when it's signed, you can't change it. And that is the picture of the law of God. Cannot be changed. The wages of sin is death. And God is not going to change that, whether we like it or not. The soul that sinneth, God tells us, it shall die. And he's not going to change it. The law of God altereth not. He doesn't change it. You see, the law, the God is saying yesterday, today, and forever. You see, sin is terrible. You know, one thing I've learned that in my life, that never take sin lightly. Don't monkey with sin. Whenever you start moving in a sinful direction, watch out. There are those who start to compromise the Bible. In our day, you know, you see somebody start moving in a sinful path, watch out. They start having another explanation for this verse. They start compromising on this verse. So, and previously they believe what the Bible says. For instance, marriage and divorce. They might against it, you know. And then all of a sudden, they start to change. See, they might be doing it to satisfy their own lust, or to do something, or to want to get remarried or whatever. But no. From the moment you start moving in a sinful direction, no matter what the sin is, you start to, and especially when you know what the Bible says, you start to see, well, you know, I thought this meant that. Well, look at it this way. See? Right there. And before you know it, God could give them over to their thing. They start moving the wrong path towards sin. But God's Word, my point is, God's Word doesn't change. It altereth not. There is the day of judgment coming. Is He going to change it? Because I may not believe it, or you don't believe it. May 21st is almost here. And the scoffers are out there. You know, there's very few who really believe it. And because the masses don't believe it, is God going to change it because men don't believe May 21st, 2011? No. He's not going to change it. Or on all these things. Oh, because I'm just a kid and I haven't get a chance to be an adult, or I'm not going to do these things, God is going to change His law to accommodate me because I haven't done this yet. I haven't done gotten a chance to do this yet. Where is your heart? Where is your heart? What? So if you never, if this world is going to end May 21st, 2011, you're still 15 or 10 years old. It's far better to be with Christ than to live in this life. Far better. Heaven is beyond our human comprehension. We can't understand heaven. You know, we don't know. You know, we can't. We live in this world for the time being. But you're not missing anything if you hadn't get a chance to grow up to be an adult. You're not. Salvation is everything. See, if you're truly saved and you were a child, wow, that's the most fantastic blessing ever. Salvation. The gift of salvation. So you're not missing anything. I keep trying to tell my kids that. You're not missing anything. You know, you miss the headache of bills and responsibilities and you name it. You're not missing anything. Salvation is the most important thing. Oh, you never get to get married. You're not going to graduate high school. You never get a chance to go to college. So what? If God has saved you, you have everything. Because we're going to be the inheritors of the new heaven and the new earth. Isn't it not? What more else could you want? You see. But the law of God doesn't change. It stands forever. And especially for the unsaved of the world. You know. Oh. If you are not saved, your sin has not been paid for. You know. You have to. In the day of judgment, you will be left here. Don't make a difference who you are. You could be a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old or a 10-year-old or whatever your age is when Christ comes on May 21st, 2011. And it will happen. And you're left here. You have to pay for your own sin, whether you make it through the first day or all the way still up. Remember, next year, this time, we're July, what day? We're July 25th. Oh, horrible. It's going to be horrible this day. Next year will come. It will come. But the horrors of hell will be on planet Earth. And where will you be? Isn't that the question for all of us? Are you going to be remaining here? You're going to be here this time? Next year? Or are you going to be with Christ? Or are you, you know, many people think if you talk to your children about these issues, oh, you're scaring them too much. They ought to be scared. They ought to be frightened out of their skin that God is going to destroy me forever. You ought to be scared. But as we know, that mankind have no fear of God. No fear of God before their eyes. And how sad that is that people are living their lives. You know, that's casually. Remember, people of Jericho, they were safe and secure in their city, weren't they? The walls were built high. They lived pretty safe. You know, many people are living this way in this world, you know. They're pretty safe. But May 21st is almost here. The day comes when Jericho, God went in there and destroyed it. See, and many people, you know, sad to say it, that they will be left here to face the wrath of God. But let's turn over to John 3, verse 15. Wonderfully, by God's mercy, He tells us that In John 3, some very familiar passage, John 3, verse 15, he says, that whosoever believeth, and you know, believing is a gift, faith is a gift, in him should not perish. Now we begin to understand what perishing is. You see, mankind will be annihilated. He will be annihilated on October 21st, 2011. And he goes on. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Perish. If you go into Strong's and you look up that word perish, many places in the Bible, it is number 622. 622. And that word perish could also, in many places in the Bible, use as destroy. Perish, destroy. Basically, is that same word as hand in glove. So it should not perish. And we know that mankind, unsaved man, he will perish forever. He will be destroyed forevermore. Forever and ever. If you look at, I believe it's Mark. Same word is used there in Mark. The wages of sin is death. Mankind on October 21st, he will be annihilated. He will perish forever. Mark chapter 1, verse 23. Mark chapter 1, verse 23-25. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us?" Here is Satan, and that man was indwelt by Satan himself. Satan knows he's going to perish. He knows he's going to be destroyed, but he's self-deceived. You see, "Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when this unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned amongst themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." You see, Christ is in complete control of all things because Christ is God. And here he's saying, Satan is saying, "Are you come to destroy us?" So in the day of judgment, they too also is going to be destroyed, wiped out on October 21st, 2011. You see, but look also at another verse in Jude, a little book right before Revelation. You know, we know that the city of Sodom is not burning, but God called it an everlasting fire. You can't go wherever it was and see it's still burning. But in Jude, verse 4-7, "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, through ye once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not." They were destroyed, you see. "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example." Sodom and Gomorrah, the city, was an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now, it says eternal fire. Is Sodom and Gomorrah still burning today? No. But God used the word there, eternal fire. And mankind too, he's going to be eternally cut off, destroyed forever. Will never come back into existence again. It's not like man is going to be in a lake burning and blaspheming and cursing God throughout all eternity. No, he is going to be annihilated forevermore, you see. And if you look at Psalm 37, God even tells us more, and just many, many, many other verses to tell us. God is telling us the wages of sin is death, and we now know that that death is you're annihilated, you're cut off forevermore. You're cut off forevermore. In October 2011, 21st. Psalm 37, verses 27 to 29. There we read, "Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For Jehovah loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever." The true believers are his saints. They are preserved forever. God has given them eternal life. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. They're cut off forever. They cease to exist forevermore, you see. And it goes on verse 29. "The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever." The true believers are going to inherit the new heaven and new earth forever. But the wicked, they're going to be cut off forevermore. Psalm 101. Verses 6 and 8. Here he tells us. Psalm 101. Verses 6 to 8. "Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land." Faithful of the land, I believe, are God's people, "that they may dwell with me." The true believers, they are going to dwell with God. "He that walketh in a perfect way," we know Christ is the way, you know, he's the perfect way, "he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight." Lies. You know, we all know what lies are, don't we? And it goes on to tell us, "I will," verse 8, "I will early destroy all the wicked." All the wicked will be destroyed. All the wicked of the land, "that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of Jehovah." You see, from the city of Jehovah, they're going to be cut off forevermore on that day. In May 21st, comes, all the unsaved will be there. They're going to be left behind, and then they're going to have to face God, the judge. And look at Proverbs chapter 2. Same idea there in Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 21 to 22. "Where the upright shall dwell in the land." You see, all the upright, and we're not upright of ourselves. God is the one who's made us righteous through Christ. "The upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it." You know, spiritually, when we become saved, we are perfect in God's sight because of what Christ has done. "But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth." You see, you go through and the Bible, you see, they're cut off. They're going to be cut off forever. "And the transgressors shall be rooted out of it." You know, they're rooted out. They're no longer will exist. You know, God is going to destroy the wicked forevermore. And they're going to be annihilated on that October 21st, 2011. But, and God, you go back over to Romans 6 tells us, let's read it again. Romans 6:23, he says, God tells us, "For the wages of sin is death." And we now know that mankind is going to be annihilated on October 21st, 2011. He goes through that, sufferings for that 5 months and so forth, and he then be destroyed. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God," you know, the gift of God is what? Salvation. The gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. It's another familiar passage God tells us. And many of us have memorized this verse throughout the Bible. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. Here he says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." And we know that faith is the faith of Christ, not our faith. You see, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." We cannot save ourselves. You see, we can't. God has to save us to be His will. "It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should glory." That word boast is the word glory. Salvation is a gift. You see, the gift of God is eternal life. Salvation is one and the same thing. If you look at Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, we read, "But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." We're saved from the wrath of God through Christ. And it goes on, "For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law." And you want to drop down to verse 15. "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift." God emphasizes, and you read on through these verses, God emphasizes that salvation is a free gift. He goes on in verse 15, he says, "The grace of God, the gift by grace, is a free gift that God has given to His elect." And wonderfully in our day, this free gift of God's mercy is still possible. The door of salvation is not closed as yet. It is not closed as yet. Remember in Isaiah, God tells us, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found." What's that telling us? He can be found now. The day comes when He is no longer can be found. The door of salvation is shut. He says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him. Beseech Him," as the Ninevites did, "while He is near." God is near now. Because the day of judgment is not yet arrived, and we're still living. The blood is warm in our veins. You hear the warning of judgment day. Take it seriously if you're not. It is supposed to be, should be, the most important thing in our lives. It's not what I haven't done yet or what I haven't attained to as yet. That's not the issue. The issue is, in a little less than 10 months, judgment day will be here. So it doesn't make a difference what you haven't accomplished or you didn't get to do. It's not important, you see. The important thing is my relationship with God, and is my sins forgiven? Isn't it not? You know, time is passing, isn't it? Before you know it, December will be here. Christmas. And after that, you have January, February, March, April, May. Time is quickly passing, children. I know kids have this weird concept of time. Time, you think, 10 months is not a long time, you know. Please don't waste it playing video games and watching TVs and hanging out here and hanging. No, time is of the essence, isn't it? Time is running out. And could it be that God in His mercy may have mercy upon all of us if it be His will? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, O Lord, that although we're living